So we'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. If I could please have the roll.
Yes.
Thank you. Ms. Wilson, Casey, geez, brain fart there. I'm sorry.
So are these recorded?
It just was going right out of my brain.
Makes me feel human. You're good.
Sorry.
Vice Chair Coyle.
Here.
Board Member Horvath.
Here.
Board Member Joanne Muthart.
Here.
Thank you. And Landau is excused. Board Member O'Dell.
Here.
Board Member Wood.
Present.
And Chair Clark.
Present. Thank you very much, Ms. Wilson. I remember your name this time. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll go ahead and move on to call to the audience. All right. At this time, do we have any blue cards?
No blue cards.
Okay. Do I still need to read the disclaimer?
No.
No blue cards. All right. Moving on. Thank you very much. All righty. So.
You may wish to open and close the call to the audience for posterity, but you don't have to read the statement.
All right. Well, we opened the call to audience. Now we close the call to audience. Thank you very much for keeping me in line there. All right. So we'll go ahead and turn the time over to Councilman Jones-Ivy for her liaison comments.
Okay, thank you very much. First thing I wanted to do is, you know, I'm a liaison also for Amphi School, so I'm very, very much interested, and I strongly support Project Grad. So they are in need of volunteers. And in every capacity, particularly for the night of grant night. And so if you're interested, I'm going to ask you to please call CDO and get yourself signed up. Again, the whole goal of this is to for our young people to have a safe and marvelous time for grant night. The second thing I wanted to report on was our next council meeting, which will be coming up, let me check the date on that real fast. It's going to be Tuesday, April 5th. We are going to be discussing ADA issues and our community center, and I'd like to have you all, as many of you all that can make it, come out and join in that discussion. There will be a presentation. And give us some feedback.
I'm sorry, what was the date for that?
For me?
April
6th. April 6th. Yeah. April 6th. And
it is April 6th.
Yeah.
Wednesday, April 6th.
April 6th.
And what was the time on that again? Wednesday, Council Chambers, 6 o'clock. Thank you for correcting me.
Chamber 6 p.m. And if I could add, for your information, Councilman Jones-Ivy, so I graduated from CDO 20 years ago, and I'm on the planning committee for our 20-year high school reunion. And so one of the things we are doing is fundraising for a big donation for Project Grad. So if anybody's interested in donating to us so we can help out with that, kind of give back to the schools, you know. Anyway, so just, you know, free information about that.
Thank you. Thank you very much for adding that. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much, Councilman Jones-Ivy.
Chair Clark,
yes.
Councilmember Jones-Ivy, would you mind if we put you on a mute?
Not at all.
Okay. And then I believe you have Chair Clark's phone number, so if you would like to speak. Just send her a text and we'll unmute you. Does that work for you?
That works.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
All right. Let's go ahead and move on to a regular session agenda. Ms. Wilson, if you could read item number one, please.
Yes. Sorry. Item number one, a review and approval of the November 16th regular session meeting minutes. Do we have any discussion on the minutes?
You need a motion first.
Motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Thank you.
Second.
Second to Vice Chair Coyle.
Thank you.
Any discussion? Any changes? Not? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, looks like the ayes have it. All right. For our next agenda item, we're going to welcome our two new members. Very excited to have them here. So we have Joanna Moothart here, and Cheryl, please remind me of your last name. Cheryl.
Horvath.
Thank you, Horvath. Thank you very much. Here joining us. I'm very excited. Yes.
We're muted for Councilmember Jones Ivy, but you may hear her say something from time to time.
It should be the other way around. She should hear us. We need her to mute.
Oh, yeah. Joyce, if you can mute your phone, ask her to mute her phone. That would be the easiest thing.
Joyce.
Okay. You can do that. I'll mute my phone. No problem.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, perfect. There it is. There's me. I'm sorry, I'm like some, I don't know what's up with my, for not today. Okay, well, thank you very much. Welcome. I don't know if you wanted to, each of you take a couple minutes to introduce yourselves to the board and give us a little bit of information, Joanne. Just a little bit about yourself.
Okay, I'm Joanne Moothart. I've lived in Oro Valley for like 27 years. My son is just started U of A, but we had many, many days down at Naranja Park because he played soccer. So we're very used to it. He's also a CDO graduate.
Go.
Anyway, that's my life.
Well, that was fast. You're supposed to take like 2 minutes.
My life's not that interesting.
Sure. So, Cheryl Horvath, I've been a resident of Oro Valley, I think, since 2009. So whatever the math is on that, I used to live right next to Naranja Park. I used to walk that every morning with my puppy dogs. My daughter's 23 and finding her way in life. I work full-time as fire chief down in Tubac Fire District. I used to be a fire chief at Mountain Vista, if anybody remembers that little fire district that was around for a few years. And now I'm just wanting to give back a little bit. So thanks for picking me. Appreciate it.
Well, we are excited to have you. So thank you, B, for being willing to serve on the board. We really appreciate it. All right, moving on to the next agenda item, number 3, progress update presentation and discussion regarding the Oro Valley $25 million parks bond approved by the town council on September 22nd. Take it away, Christy.
I'll go first.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
I was just going to get
it. Do you want yours
up? Yes, put mine up first.
Sorry, Scott. Hey, Christy. Christy, can I have one of those printouts?
Yeah, okay. So I did email the two presentations for tomorrow, or last night. There's a one slight modification to the Naranja, to the bond project. I just switched slides is what I did. And then you saw the note that the Naranja Park... improvement project is due today by our architect team, McGann and Associates, and so that's what I handed out, and then we'll also get that to you electronically so you can have it also. So this will help you kind of follow through. So, let's see, I think maybe just so $25 million bond that the town council approved in July of 27, and the components were community center improvements. Those are all exterior improvements. Additional multi-use paths, those were three specific connectors that were associated with the master plan. And then, of course, the Naranja Park expansion. At least 50% of the $25 million is intended to be used at Naranja Park. All right. So the community center includes the golf course irrigation replacement, tennis court reconstruction and expansion, and the parking lot reconstruction and expansion. The golf course improvement irrigation project is on schedule. We bid that out. The award was given to Wadsworth Construction. It is a multi-year contract. This summer, they will be doing the irrigation replacement on the Conquistador course.
course, if you've been to the community center lately, the dirt lot is full of like a lot of equipment. And so what we did was we purchased all of the materials for both courses. So that way we already knew that. That was just a not in anticipation of more volatility in the market. So yeah, we just decided to buy it now. The course will close, I think it's May 2nd. It's the first Monday in May, and that's technically the first day of construction. And the goal is to reopen on November 1st. So they will need to be substantially complete by early October, so that way we can get through an overseed. While 18 holes are down, we only have 18 holes, so we need to get the new one overseeded, time to grow in, so we can open that, so we can overseed the other 18, so we're not completely shut down. So, and then it'll be repeated next year on a Kenyatta course. This year, also, this summer, we will be addressing the greens on the Conquistador course. They're currently a bent grass green, and we're gonna remove that and then put Bermuda back in there. We're also gonna be removing turf around the greens and then hydro seeding, and that's part of our water reduction strategy. So over the course of both courses, with both courses, that'd be about 22 acres of irrigated turf that we no longer have to irrigate by doing that. And they're also gonna be improving the driving range, the tee boxes, and then likely a CIP project will come in to irrigate the floor of the driving range, but then also put turf in there as well. So that will be a nicer experience for the users. There's that project. And so I'm just gonna kind of roll with this. Stop me if you have questions rather than waiting to the end. It's much easier for me. Yes.
Is Wadsworth out of Salt Lake?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I just know that they were the best bid, and we said yes. Okay. tennis court reconstruction expansion. We were out to bid. We had a pre-bid last week. Had a couple questions from contractors that asked for a bid extension. We awarded that. So the bids are actually going to be due on the 30th, and so that's just 1 week out. We do still expect the construction to be April through about the first 2 weeks of October, because we do have about third week of October, we have a USTA tournament. The following week, we have a Meet, Play, Love tournament. The following week, we have a Congress tournament. And a couple weeks after that, we have a pickleball tournament.
Wow.
So we got to get this done. The project itself is going to be resurfacing asphalt courts with post-tension concrete slab. And so these tennis courts will remain tennis courts. These two pickleball courts are currently asphalt. Those will also transition to concrete slab. This one is concrete. And then adding these four pickleball courts. So that's part of the base bid. We have three alternates. So add alt one is adding two additional pickleball courts. The reason that's an add alternate is because of the drainage that's required through here and some, help me out here, because Scott was our designer on this, our architect, and some retaining walls. So that's why that was an alternate. Add alternate two is creating a large sort of event center, shaded event center, and making that all one level. So you would just transition from the check-in and here one level, and then you could walk through this new walkway into the new courts. But that staging area could be used for pickleball tournaments, tennis tournaments, and just general shade for people that are queuing up. This court, which is known as Court 12, will remain as a tennis court in terms of the netting and the lining, but for everyday use, it's going to be temporary lined with pickleball lines because of the use of pickleball. but we needed to preserve that as tennis for the for some of the USTA events. So, you had your hand raised?
Yeah, typical me. Did the successful bid already bid the options?
No, that's part of it. That we'll find that out on the 30th.
Were they asked to bid the options?
Yes.
Right.
They're asked to bid them, yes.
And would that be awarded at this time or at the end of it if we still have money?
It would be at contract.
At contract?
Yes.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So I have a question. Are all of, like, so you're going to redo all the tennis courts? Will they be done at all the same time or?
No. So the intent is to stage them. So we have some tennis courts and some pickleball courts open while the others are being taken care of and then create a flip. So we still can retain for our membership because we have a really strong membership base. And even though, you know, it's 107 out, they don't care.
Yeah, they come earlier
yeah,
and they
do. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, it's early or late. But
yeah.
Also, for our summer program, our kiddos go out and play pickleball and tennis.
Right.
So we want to also preserve that opportunity for the kids.
Okay.
So is it just resurfacing? Does it include lights?
The lighting will stay, so everything's lit. The new courts will also include lighting. The netting, the fencing will also stay. The third alternate are new shade canopies, shade structures in there. Because the ground level is going to increase a few inches, right, because we're putting more stuff on there. So what we're likely going to have to do with those shade structures is sort of cut them, rise them, and then re-weld them just so that way it has that clearance for us tall folks in the room.
Great.
Anything else about tennis?
No.
Okay. So, parking lot. So, this is a typical day at the community center. This is, and I can tell you, like over the last month and a half, our typical days have been worse than this. So parking is a real issue on the site, and then you know, as you know, this area is being used for the staging, for the irrigation project. So this will be done the summer of 23. We needed to make sure that we didn't want those big concrete trucks for the tennis court going over a brand new asphalt. So
they would beat it to death.
Right. And then also we're working with this property owner to acquire that property so that way in the new parking schematic will also include that space.
That's good.
Christy, are we fairly certain we'll get that land from the owner?
Yes.
Okay.
We already have rights to it. I was in the middle of that. We have rights to use it between now and whenever the transfer occurs. That's why we can park out there now.
Cool.
Oh, okay, good.
Thank you.
Multi-use path connections. So La Cañada Drive on the west side, the connection between Lambert and Nirwan House. So there are some areas that have some multi-use, some have nothing, some have a sidewalk. The intent is to put the whole thing as a shared use path, a multi-use path.
Yeah.
So that we're looking at fall of 2022. We're hoping to look at, later this fall. We're hoping it would be a little bit sooner, but we're kind of working with partners for additional funding. The Naranja Drive from La Cañada to the park entry, that's on the north side of La Cañada, so that will be late next year. And then the CDO Wash to James D. Cree Park. So the location, if you're familiar with the loop, there's a bridge that goes over the CDO, and it's kind of right there at the Oro Valley Country Club, and then it goes west. So really from kind of that specific area, identifying a connection to James D. Cree Park, because again, if you remember the master plan, the intent was really to connect the parks to each other. So we're still evaluating that one because there's a lot of private streets and whatnot, so we're still working through like the logistics of how to make that a realistic connection.
Just curious, who are the partners that we're working with? Is it Pima County or?
Yeah, RTA. Mm-hmm. Pima County. So we're just, that's what we're kind of working through.
Good.
All right, so now the fun stuff, right? So the Naranga Park expansion, last time we talked, about our project is a CMAR, Construction Manager at Risk. So we had introduced McGann and Associates. Have you been to one of our prep meetings before? Or maybe I just...
Mayor Council.
So we selected McGann and Associates as our architect team through a full RFP process. And then, so they started to get to work, and then we did the RFP for construction, and we selected a company called Hayden Construction. Hayden, in the Tucson metro region, built Keno Park. Keno Park has multi-sport fields, pickleball courts, basketball courts, splash pad, very similar to what we have going on here. And also the architect of record on that project was McGann & Associates. So there's a really good synergy already going on with the group, and we're hitting our stride, aren't we?
Yep.
We have a tentative groundbreaking scheduled for May 31st. I believe we're looking at around 9 o'clock. We'll send that out to you so that way you can get that on your calendar. Yes.
That'd be 2022, wouldn't it?
Well, darn it. I can tell you how many times.
Old slide.
Well, we lost that whole year, so I get it.
Yeah, we did miss that whole
year. We lost that whole year, so yeah, we're just making up.
It was just making up.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
It took 8 years to lift that pole.
Yeah, it did. But anyway, so I'm kind of digging through pictures because y'all know I like pictures. And this is like an awesome photograph because like these are grown adults.
Wow.
In comparison to this, you know, so it's, yeah, it was a great picture. So let me see my next. McGann and Associates are going to lead us through the next part of this. They're going to walk through the new and improved site plan. If you recall, the site plan that we had in the master plan included a lot of amenities, and it was a concept plan. The amenities that were approved by Mayor and Council are included in this new plan. It is very well thought out in terms of landscape, in terms of being budget conscientious, in terms of this being the crown jewel of Oro Valley. So I am thrilled with this new layout. We want and need your feedback for questions and answers, et cetera, because we're going to be presenting this to Council also on April 6th. And so one of the outcomes from today, we need some questions, and we'll try to answer that. And then overall consensus on your thoughts of this new plan. So with that, Scott Martinez and Don McGann, I don't know which one of y'all are going to come up, but and Casey's going to do a switcheroo. Ooh, two.
There you go, you can drive.
You already started driving.
Okay.
Let's drive from here.
Oh, close your eyes.
Don't want to see that.
Thank you, Christy, and this is a discussion. Please ask questions as we move through here, kind of an update on where we are and what the configuration of the park is proposed to be. So starting with just kind of a recap of some of the things that are ongoing and that have been completed, we've been working with Christy and her team verifying the program, what parts of the project are going to be developed at Naranja. Things like the RC Flyers was out, but now it's back in, and just refining that so we know exactly what we need to provide. Site survey was started by the town some time ago, and there's been some supplemental survey, so we not only know from looking at it, but know from the survey topography that we don't have flat ground. It's like Ron's Park, you know, trying to build flat fields on rolling terrain. But anyway, one of the important things is a hydrology study. It used to be an unnamed wash, and as part of this project was given the name Gravel Pit Wash, the wash that comes through the park. working with the stormwater folks to understand that the hydrology of that, what the current conditions are, what the impacts will be as this park is developed and paving occurs and what have you. That's an ongoing process. Geological or geotechnical investigations, being an old sand and gravel pit, you know, there's film piles over here and other rubble over here and kind of a mixed bag. So you may have seen equipment out there, but we've been poking holes and digging trenches throughout the park to really understand what those soil conditions are, because there will be thousands and thousands of yards of dirt to be moved to make the park work. So that's a very important thing. Traffic study, looking at the impacts of the traffic generated by the park, both with the existing facilities and the new facilities, and what does that do to the intersection and the roadway at Naranja, and also the proposed connection of the Tangerine. The idea is that there would be a connection between those two entries and exits at both. Working with Christy on a parking study, you know, some codes have specific requirements. If you have so many square feet of building, you need X number of parking spaces. Park, it's a little different, and as Ron well knows, you know, there's peaks and there's valleys, and so we've been trying to, one thing we've been doing is just some surveys, just counting cars in the parking lot, you know, Tuesday evening when kids are practicing, Saturday when games are going on, just kind of documenting the number of vehicles in the park, and then trying to project for tournament situation, for a special event situation, how many parking spaces do we need? Don't want to build too many, but the last thing you want is to have people parking on fields and things that would be damaged. Looking at utilities, and one good thing here is the park, or the town, excuse me, had the foresight to extend both potable and reclaimed water with sizable mains to the park. So we think that that's not going to be an issue. It's just extending those to the places where they're needed. Also, the when the initial lighting went in, there was a thought given to how much electric power we needed, and it looks like there is capacity to light some additional fields and provide the power needed for the other facilities. Coordination with outside agencies, and specifically that relates to the gravel pit wash and the Corps of Engineers, and whether that's 404 falls under the jurisdiction of the waters of the United States. Based on the prior disturbance, you know, they had a gravel pit there for decades. It appears as though that won't be an issue, but we're treading carefully, working with John Spiker and his group to make sure that we're following the letter of the law and trying not to introduce delays to the project. So, earthwork in mass grading, that's an ongoing. We just had a meeting today where we're looking at how to grade the site, create those flat platforms for the fields and the parking and the other things, and do it so we're not exporting soil or importing soil, that it balances. And it's a bit tricky. We're not quite there yet, but that's certainly ongoing work. And then site planning, just how does this all lay out? And that's kind of the presentation tonight. So. Just very briefly, some of the key project challenges, as you would expect, are the earthwork and grading. You know, we're moving lots and lots of dirt to make that work. All of you, I'm sure, have been out there and know the slopes on the east side of the park and the condition of those. And so remediating those slopes, getting them stable, making it safe for users up on top, all of those issues are certainly going to be a key challenge, as well as construction cost. And we all been to the grocery store, and I read something the other day that the year-to-year increase in construction cost had spiked at the highest in 50 years. So it's a battle that the town's going to have to address, but we're here, we're now, and we're not going to change that. So here's an overall view of the park, and the notion here is that we would go through the individual parks and then come back to this so we can, but at any time, please, ask questions. So existing fields and existing parking, this is new proposed new development, and other facilities that would be part of the overall development of the park. So Let's start with the closer look at the four fields here. So, as we look at the park, there will never be access from the north. There will never be access from the east or the south. So we really have this one spine road with access into the park facilities from that road. And so in terms of reasonable distances to park and go to a field or park and go to a playground, we've kind of looked at this as maybe a south pod, which is existing, and a north pod. Typically, you would go to one or the other, but there'd be pedestrian connections in between. So let's go through that next series of slides here. So in general, organization of the site, that existing south pod, the new north pod, and then in the middle, access and parking, where there's some reasonable distances to those facilities. And then other improvements in the park, existing and proposed, that are more kind of destination. You typically wouldn't go to, say, the dog park and also play pickleball. So these are kind of specific facilities that would be attached to the park, but not in the center of it. And those include the dog park, the RC Flyers field. We definitely need an O&M facility. The memorial, which is not part of this project, but there is space reserved for that, and then the existing archery range. Then lastly, I think it's important to recognize that, we have all this development, but there's also that amenity of acres and acres of natural open space in the park. So we touched on some of these, and we'll go through each of these individuals, the field, the course, the splash pad, and what have you. Let's just jump right into that, Scott. So this is the four new fields that are proposed, and this is where they would go. This is the existing development. What would occur there are four new lighted sports fields with state-of-the-art LED lighting. They are similar in size to the existing fields, which is really quite large. A new restroom serving this area, a couple of ramadas. Because of the access to these upper fields, this is mostly going to be sloped. To get to those fields, we're proposing kind of a corridor here where people can congregate, teams can meet, things like that. And there will also be some terracing between the lower level and the parking as we move up. So some sloped walkways, and we haven't worked out the details of the exact configuration, but being able to get ADA access from this lower level up to the next level. Got to mow the grass, and they've got to change the light bulbs from time to time, so the last thing to do would be a maintenance road that gets access to that. So, questions on that, or we can just keep moving through?
I do have one quick question, actually, about the access road that is going to come from the north through the neighborhood that's there. Actually, it's a couple slides back. The one main road, I just wondered if neighbors in that area have contacted us or the town, because I know that they were kind of upset about the traffic coming through there.
Yeah, absolutely. We there is some information here in terms of what's proposed. We'll come to that if that's okay.
Yeah, fine.
So the next area would be some pickleball courts, and the program includes six lighted pickleball courts. Pickleball is very much a social activity, and so having a ramada and kind of a gathering space associated with that is important, and obviously parking that would be in close proximity. This is two dimension. In three dimension, we're going from here up slightly and then up substantially to that road as that ridge goes through the. So there's a lot of topography that we're working with here, but this seems to work with the proposed pickleball course. This is something a little bit new. So you're all familiar with the park, and at the present time, this area to the west of the existing parking is the dog park. So the program includes two elements. It includes the dog park, and it also includes a skate park. So as we're trying to develop and find flat ground for the skate park, we looked at any number of different options. And what we kind of came to was this as the most appropriate location for the skate park. And we'll talk about a relocation of the dog park in just a moment. This, and we were all 13 or 14 years old at one time and experimenting with language we didn't learn at home and, you know, yelling at our buddies and what have you, but skate park, the pump track, the basketball courts, a place where kids and adults can gather. And the pump track is a bicycle-related activity. I think most of you are familiar with it. And it does seem to be a boy and dad, mom and son activity. So it's not just kids, but it's really quite popular and certainly would be a significant addition to Oro Valley Park system. We're hoping to be able to get some additional parking in here as well. We're working with the hydrology and drainage, which is going to come around and down through here. So that's our best guess. There is an existing restroom to kind of serve this, and parking, and this is here, is field number one.
Don, if I may jump in real quick.
Yeah, please.
In terms of new amenities to our community, can you go back to where you were?
Okay.
That's the new amenity.
Right.
We do not have a skate park.
Nope.
We do not have a pump track.
I'm excited.
We have we have splash pads, playgrounds, dog parks, parking lots, trails. That is brand new to our community.
That's awesome.
And so, yeah, and so I like this. I like, one, there's a lot of eyes there. Right, coming and going, there's a good line of sight in terms of keeping an eye on activity. But as Don said, buffered, you know, they're kind of a standalone, so it doesn't overwhelm other park users either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
what's a pump track?
Oh, here we go.
BMX. Pump track is it could be paved, it could be dirt, but it's a series of like humps or hills.
Mm-hmm.
And you use your momentum on your bike. There's really not a whole lot of pedaling, but you kind of use your momentum, and you kind of, that's why they pump, like you're pumping up a tire, but you're
okay.
Pumping your bike, and you kind of pump through.
Okay.
They're super popular.
Okay.
You Google or YouTube pump tracks, you'll see all kinds of kids have
okay.
fun. So.
Cool, thank you.
Ron, have you built any of those in the county system yet?
No.
And I must say I really do like that location better than it was before, where it was going to be adjacent to Montero Vista, because...
Yeah.
Everybody would not go in through the entrance. They would climb up with their bike to get into it.
That was another attraction, and that it was not close to, you know, people's homes.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and
that's got parking right there.
Spot
yeah.
Too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah.
It's good feedback. Okay.
It's nice.
So that leads to the dog park, next slide, which is now proposed to be up here south of Montero Terrace.
Yes, excuse me.
There will be several kind of different elevations. There's the existing, the first two fields that were built, and then it slopes up. Each one of these will slope up, and then there will be another terrace way up here that will be the area that's for the proposed dog park. Just to give you some idea of the amount of elevation change, these are conceptually, from a conceptual grading plan, these are 5-foot contour intervals. So this could be 20 feet higher than the fields below, which, for those of you who have hiked up there and walked up there early morning, in the evening, I mean, there's the dog park, but But there's a proposed Ramada here that would open up and give you that view of
the
valley and over to the Catalinas. So it really would be quite spectacular. Separate entrance, small parking lot, a small restroom, a Ramada with that little plaza that would give you that view. Probably not going to have turf in any of the dog park enclosures, but multiple enclosures and some detail that would be worked out there. In addition to noise, the level of lighting here would be a lot less than if it were the skate park, and the fixtures can be lower. So this will tear us down from the homes here down, and you'll be looking over the top of that, the restroom and the Ramada, et cetera, would not block anybody's view from the valley and that expanse to the south. So that's proposed dog park.
Question, just really quick. How does this new concept compare to the size of the one we currently have?
Compared to
the size of the dog park that we currently have?
It's similar in terms of total area, and we have some flexibility here in terms of just how big and how many different enclosures we want to have. That hasn't been determined, but yeah, we have to get down a slope to this level, so there are some limitations on how big we can make it. Mm-hmm. But even these could be terraced, you know, as we get through the final grading plan. Okay. But it will be at least as big as what's there.
Very good.
Okay. And I see three segments there. Do we have three now or two?
Well, right now we have two, and we're getting ready to open a third, and the third is really intended to be more of like a vulnerable dog.
Right.
So
that's good.
As we begin to program this, we'll, you know, talk to the, we'll see how that's being used, if it is as popular, if it's necessary, if, you know, if not, we may, you know, have them all kind of attached.
Yeah.
But you can still close them off for maintenance, and yet, you know, so you're not displacing any sort of sized dog.
Yeah.
Splash pad. So that is an important part of the overall program, and it seems to relate best to the playground, that user group with parents and child and what have you. So the proposed location to it is just to the northwest of the existing playground here. This is a preliminary concept, but there would most definitely be a splash pad, but perhaps some areas where you're kind of wet, but you're not, you know, you're still part of that splash pad experience. You can go over and sit on the towel and what have you. Splash pad here, supported by a new restroom. We hope we have the budget to build that. There is a restroom over here, but, you know, it's nice to have that close to the splash pad. A new Ramada, connecting walkways. We'll need an enclosure for the mechanical equipment, the water purification. That requires some deliveries of, you know, gases and what have you, so that's located right here. And then we are fairly close to some of these roadways, so the notion is that this would be a fenced-in area that maybe can't wander off and climb out over towards the road. So that's going to be a big, hit.
is the play area number two, is that turf or artificial turf?
I would think artificial,
okay.
Synthetic turf would make sense in there.
Yep.
Trying to mow it and keep that out of the drainage system would not make sense. Good point. Next is the RC Flyers field. And of course, we know they're being displaced. That's a popular activity. We've looked around and tried to, at one point it was going to move off-site, but we needed to find a place on site. So there's a bit of a ridge up in here along the roadway. It looks like with a minimum of grading, we can get a 250-foot runway, which is a little smaller than what they've got, but something that's workable. Be able to do what they typically do is come in, you know, back up, have a fenced delineation between kind of where the operators are and the runway. And then it's this area over here that would be the area where they would actually fly the aircraft. One of the important things, and I wasn't aware of this because I'm not an RC flyer, but it makes perfect sense, is that they do it mostly in the morning and like to look to the west as opposed to be looking into the sun trying to blind and find their aircraft. So we're working with them and with Christie to make sure that, you know, we've addressed all any and all safety issues, but it looks like it's going to work just fine.
That's good. Good. Thought they were going to get tossed.
Well, just a little background. Their current runway is about 700 feet.
Is it
and,
really?
Yeah, and I've worked with them. I can't tell you how many like times we've all been in a truck and gone to all different places looking, and it's just hard to find the footprint for that, and then also the flyover space. And so they were given notice that we're going to terminate their user lease. And during that time in communication with the president, he said, well, you know, we're okay with the small footprint. And so that really opened up other opportunities. And so they gave us the parameters, you know, and 250 hit the mark. And I called Don and Scott and said, we need help. And there we go.
Yeah.
And so and in my communication with the president, he's thrilled. Likes the area, likes staying in Naranjo Park, and frankly having a permanent home.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I've rode my bike down there and watched those guys for a couple hours.
One day.
It's they're having a good time.
They are, and it's and there's a lot of youth that are out there flying that that's their recreational outlet, right? Whereas some are on the pump track, some are on the sport field, some are hiking, and now you have some flying, so it's cool.
No, that's good. Didn't say that.
And Christy, I thought it was interesting the state statute that required you to accommodate those within the park system.
And so there was a state statute that was enacted, I think, in 2016? it pretty recent, that requires municipalities to have a place for model aircraft to fly. And the intent of that was really with regard to drones. But that's all it says. If you have a park system with more than one park, you're required to find this space. The statute doesn't say you have to have a runway. It just says you have space, which is like again kind of the drone landing and takeoff. There's something in terms of yes, we're absolutely in the law, but then in the spirit of like they have been great neighbors and great partners. Temporarily for a decade. So it's nice that we're able to.
If you applied to the statute with much less land and much less of a place, it would have been much less useful for people who actually have takeoff runway aircraft.
Well, they don't even require runway.
That's it. You could have complied with the statute way easier than putting it around.
Yeah, and it's going to be challenging because they'll be displaced for a little while.
So the pilots, what's the connectivity back over to the park, potentially use a restroom? Should there perhaps be maybe a tabletop crosswalk there or something? It looks like the topography steps up from the soccer field, but I can see some people wanting to go over and observe, or, like I said, the users at the airfield wanting to come down to use the restroom.
Have a crosswalk. Hey,
go ahead. One of the things... there are two things here. One is this roadway is going to be substantially higher than the field. It'll slope up because that's kind of what the natural topography is doing. The other thing is this line here is a shared use pathway that will go from, we'll talk a little bit more about, all the way from Tangerine down to Naranja. So the decision, tentative decision, was that the number of users didn't really warrant another restroom here. Mm-hmm. All too well, the maintenance issues associated with the restroom and the cost of building.
Right.
If someone needed to use the restroom, they could walk, or more likely they would get in their car and drive over to one of the restrooms provided in the park.
So what about shade?
My plan is actually to work with the users and have them do some fundraising to put a shade structure there. Mm-hmm. So there's a sense of ownership. We'll preserve this space for them for likely a cantilever style.
Mm-hmm.
But right now what they do is they just bring their 10x10s mm-hmm. and put it mm-hmm. out there mm-hmm. Right behind their vehicle.
Yeah, this is a big upgrade from what they got now.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, I didn't know if there were more drone users out there.
There are right now there are more model aircraft planes, but the drone users are
increasing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing pilots when you see what they do.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were pilots or not, but they are. But it's impressive to watch the
retired Raytheon engineers, I think.
Well, the president of the Sonoran Desert Flyers was a former rocket scientist and decided to pivot, and now he's curing cancer, working with Roche in tissue diagnostics. Nice. So that's who's out there using.
Well, maybe Roche will pay for their shape.
So, well, there you go. Love it.
So another, I think, key component of the project is that shared use pathway that will extend from the existing pathway system at Naranja through the park and down to, from Tangerine down to Naranja is what I'm trying to say. We looked at different configurations, and the recommendation is to put it on the west side of the Musette Drive that will extend up to Tangerine. That would allow someone to go that mile from point A to point B and not be crossing driveways and what have you. If you are coming down, riding your bike down to the fields, there would be some designated crosswalks where you could get to the other side. Mm-hmm. But it seems like from a safety standpoint and a functionality standpoint, that works out best. Initially, it will tie into there's bike lanes at Naranja, but a plan is for expanding the shared use pathway system there, making that connection. So, a huge amenity for the overall park. And then also internal, both paved accessible walkways and native soil trails. Native soil trail is basically there. There'll be some realignments from the for the purpose of just safety, although we hope to be able to correct a lot of those issues with the regrading of those slopes, but also just a system of paved walkways within the park, and particularly these walkways around the fields. The final configuration is exactly like this, but we have an opportunity to have lights for the walkway and perhaps some supplemental lights attached to the lights for the field lighting, so that you can use it at night when your kid's practicing. You can walk laps around the various fields. And then there's some people out there now who like to take off their shoes and walk in the grass. There's not many places where you have that opportunity to do something like that. So certainly that pedestrian circulation and some opportunities, and also connecting and keeping the existing trails down by the walking lane for the archery. And then I think this is the area that you were talking about. And so the roadway or the park drive will extend up and connect to Tangerine Road. Actually, it will connect here because this part has been already constructed. And they were planning for all contingencies with the multiple lanes that were built up there. But I think what's important is this will scale down to a two-lane roadway, similar to in scale to the roadways in Tangerine Terrace. We need to make that connect to the existing lane configuration so we don't have to rebuild this part of the project, which would be expensive. And the other key point here is there is some common area associated with Tangerine Terrace. And then the town's right-of-way. Existing road, such as it is quite a bit closer to the Tangerine Terrace subdivision or backyards than as proposed. This is going to require kind of taking some of that hill to the west side and taking that out and then rebuilding some berms. Mm-hmm. And in some places, it will probably be walls because we just don't have enough space to get a berm that's stable, that gets high enough to do anything, and then come back down on the other side. So a combination of berms and walls through here to provide some noise and sound, or just visual protection for those homes along that side of Tangerine Terrace. Yes?
So was that always planned to be an entrance? I mean, so if you bought a house in there, you should have known that was going to be a road someday.
when that when Tangerine Terrace plat was created, there's specific language in there that said that Muset Drive is the main entry to our regional park.
Oh, great. Okay.
So that was part of that. Now, whether or not that was, you know, absolutely told to the homeowners,
yeah,
that's
well,
a completely different story.
That.
You know,
yeah.
we all understand that.
Part of that was, I think, was the council's approval of the subdivision was that was a necessary
mm-hmm.
disclosure
yeah.
that had to be made to people buying in that subdivision.
Don, is there any discussion about a deceleration lane eastbound on Tangerine into the park?
The traffic study did not suggest that it was necessary. There's multiple eastbound lanes. There's two eastbound lanes, so
I'm just thinking a special event, a lot of cars trying to come in at the same time. Cars going 50
and that's a good
Tangerine.
Point. In terms of special events, like if a iHeartRadio Fest or a 4th of July
mm-hmm.
event, we would cut
traffic
that
control.
Off and,
yeah.
Yeah, and just you know stage it as most
yeah.
special events.
Okay.
And with any special event, also police, you know,
mm-hmm.
monitoring of traffic would be
yeah.
appropriate. So that's that for the furthest northernmost part of the park. And lastly, here is just for orientation. These are features.